Hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. And we are reading from Matthew chapter 14, starting at verse 22. And that can be found on page 928 in your Bibles. Jesus walks on the water. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. And when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized Jesus, they sent word to all the surrounding country. People brought all who were ill to him and begged him to let those who were ill just touch the edge of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
As we stand, shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And we humbly ask that you would open our hearts and minds by your Spirit, that we might hear and respond rightly to the words of Jesus, which we ask in his name and for your glory. Amen. Please do sit down. And if you're used to looking at the Bible when there's a sermon, then do keep open that passage from Matthew chapter 14. Some of you here will remember Spike Milligan. Some of you won't have a clue who I'm talking about. The late Spike Milligan, the comedian, people either loved him or hated him, once had an evening that was televised. It was called An Evening with Spike Milligan. And gathered there were all the great and the good of the show business world. He gave his evening's entertainment and then opened the floor to questions. They could ask any question they wanted. The first question that came to him was, "Spike, if you could meet anyone, who would it be?" And without any hesitation, he said, "Jesus." Very striking, isn't it? That Jesus is one of those names which it's quite hard to drop into conversation, isn't it? You can talk about God, but it's more difficult to talk about Jesus. And yet nobody I have met, I've discovered, does not have an opinion about Jesus. The question is it the right opinion? You see, what's striking about this reading, if we had time to read a bit longer, you'd have seen that beforehand you've got some wrong reactions to Jesus. There was Herod, who saw the miracles Jesus did and said, "He must be John the Baptist, come back to life." Then there was the crowd, just before this, the feeding of the 5,000. And if you read John's account of the feeding of the 5,000, it's the only miracle that occurs absolutely in the same way in the four Gospels. What we discover in John is that immediately people want to make him king by force. And he goes away. They've actually misunderstood him, so much so that we read later on, in Matthew's Gospel, "Who do people, the crowds, say that I am?" And they say, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, some say one of the prophets. The crowd had got it wrong. Herod had got it wrong. And when we come to this passage of the walking of the water, it's the focus is on the disciples. And as the focus is on them, this helps us to understand the right response, or what should be the right response to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know you at all, so some of you here will be absolutely certain in your faith and trust in Jesus. Others will be less certain. Others may be completely unsure. You'll all have an opinion about Jesus, though. And if we look in these words, we see something of what it means to be an authentic follower of Jesus, to have the right response to him. And you can summarize it in one way, in just two words. The person who's rightly understood Jesus exercises trust, and then that trust is issued in worship. Trust and worship. Now, when it comes to trust, we find the disciples in a boat after the feeding of the 5,000. We read here, don't we, that Jesus sort of sent them away. The original is much more powerful. He compelled them to go. It's perhaps because the crowd, having just received the miraculous packed lunch, the feeding of the 5,000, having got Jesus wrong, he wants to send them away. Look, you go away. I'll chat to you later. And he withdraws and prays because people have misunderstood him. And when he then next is seen in this passage, he's walking on the water. The disciples are in a storm. The wind is buffeting them. They've got a headwind. It's difficult. But they're not frightened of the weather. They're not frightened of the storm or what might happen. What causes fear is when they see Jesus. We read that shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walk on the lake, they were terrified. Now, why were they terrified? Why were they so scared? Why were they uncertain? It is because when you read the Bible, you see there's only one person, if you like, who has control over the waves, over the weather. Only one person who can walk on water and still storms. Any reader of the Old Testament would say only God can do that. And it may just be that they're beginning to understand this isn't just a miracle worker. This is someone entirely different. And in fact, Jesus' words of reassurance to them may confirm that. He says, take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. Now, you and I just read that in a matter of sentences. The words, it is I, are literally, I am. They're the same words that Jesus used in John's Gospel, I am the Good Shepherd, I am the light of the world. It's the same word Jesus uses when he's arrested, and you discover that when they ask who he is and he says, I am, they fall back. Why do they do that? It's because the phrase I am in the Bible represented God. And you remember the burning bush. Who shall I say sent me? Say, I am sent me. So whenever Jesus uses I am, there's more than just overtones. There's very strong association about who he is. I am God in the flesh. It's those words you have here. Walking on the water, only God can do that. I am is saying, that's who I am. And therefore, that's why Jesus can say, take courage, don't be afraid. Because he has the power to give people courage and take away fear. Some people over the years have equated this storm, as it appears, with the storms of life, buffeted around by uncertainty. I'm not sure whether you can get that from the passage, but I am sure that's the experience of life. You know, there are times, aren't there, and maybe even now, where we just feel overwhelmed. We might be overwhelmed because we're struggling physically. We might be overwhelmed because we're struggling emotionally. Many times we'll be overwhelmed because we're struggling spiritually. Can I really believe all this? Is it real? And Jesus comes along and he says, I'm God. I am. Take courage and do not be afraid. And as we grasp that, We also see in the response to that, therefore, what that trust looks like. There are two aspects to it, actually modelled by Peter. One aspect of trust is trusting the words of Jesus. When Jesus asks them, or comes to them and says, "I am," Peter then says, "Lord, if it's you," the original's stronger, "since it's you, Lord, tell me to walk on the water." And Jesus says, "Come." Words of Jesus. And Peter trusts the words of Jesus. He walks on the water. Until, that is, he glances at the world around him. And you can imagine what that would have been like. And in many ways, let's be honest, we'd be like that, wouldn't we? This is daft, trusting someone who says walk on water. And the storm looks pretty great, and I've been battling against it for hours. So here I am walking on this storm, spray and water everywhere. He takes his eyes off Jesus, onto the world around, he begins to sink. Now that does have echoes, doesn't it? Because the world around us, whether we feel it's turmoil or not, feels more real. The concept of trusting Jesus, whom you cannot see, and his words, is a tall order. But he's trustworthy. His words are trustworthy. And even when Peter began to sink, we get hope in trusting him. Because just as his words are trustworthy, so we see his work is trustworthy. When Peter begins to sink, what he says to Jesus is, "Lord, save me." And Jesus reaches out his arm and saves him. He could have just trusted the words of Jesus. They'd be enough. But here was the work of Jesus in saving him. Now, at this stage in the life and ministry of Jesus, the disciples did not know what you and I know. They did not know about the cross. They did not know about the resurrection. They did not know about the ascension. The Spirit had not yet been given to build the church. So they were on a lot of guesswork territory at the moment, trying to work out who Jesus was and is. But the words of Jesus about salvation are as real, if not more so, today. Because his whole life and ministry was heading to his death on the cross, which is the means by which and through which we are saved. It's what we remember today when we take the bread and the wine. And it means that you and I today can not only keep trusting the words of Jesus, gloriously left for us and encapsulated here, but we can trust the work of Jesus when he saves, ultimately on the cross. That is as certain for us in an uncertain world as the bread and wine that we take is physical. That's what Jesus meant by this. He knew we were weak in faith. He knew we'd struggle. He knew we can't see him. So he says, "I'm going to give you something tangible that you can be reminded that my promises are as real to you as it is when you eat bread and drink wine." You today, me today, we have more reason to trust the words of Jesus and the work of Jesus, despite what the world around might look like and however much fear we might have. And notice from this passage that as we understand trust, it leads to that second aspect of right response to Jesus, and that is worship. At the end of this little section, they climbed into the boat, that's Peter and Jesus. The wind died down, and those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." If he wasn't, that is of course blasphemy, and we are blasphemous. But he is the Son of God, all that God is, God in the flesh. Worship him is exactly the right response. Now you think what's going on in the world at the time with all these miracles. Herod saw them, he got it wrong. The crowd saw them, they'd got it wrong. The disciples in the midst of this instance, and you and me as we read this passage, can get it right. Now, Jesus is all that God is. He can say to us, "Take heart, be courageous, don't be afraid, whatever the world around looks like." Why? Because I am. I am all that God is. You can trust my words. You can trust my work. And the response of all those who grasp that is inevitably worship, which is praise, adoration, all our lives living in the confidence that this King Jesus rules, that this King Jesus is building his church, that this King Jesus is working in you and me, even today, however weak our faith might feel. And one day, that worship will be seen in its fullness. Just as in the book of Revelation, the curtain of eternity is drawn back. Despite using unusual language, brilliantly so, because otherwise it would be not understandable across generations and cultures. Truth in picture language. But the truth is this, as we read in Revelation. Worthy are you, all his people speak to Jesus, to take the scroll and open its seals, that's to understand and make sense of this world. For you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God, from every tribe and language and people and nation. Now I don't know you well enough to know where you are with all this. I do know that you will have an opinion about Jesus. But the right opinion is to recognize he is all that God is. So we can trust him when he says, do not be afraid and take heart. We can trust his words and his work. And our response can be one of worship. So as we go from here today, whatever you're going to face, whatever's, as it were, burdening you today, remember who Jesus is. Take heart. Do not be afraid. And keep worshipping him.